Tonight's topic is not a topic that you enter into lightly. It's something that is very serious, something that in a lot of ways makes us feel uncomfortable even talking about. It makes us feel reticent to discuss it too much or to get too far into a discussion of it, because it's just one of those things that, well, it's just one of those things that's just kind of almost something that you deal with privately, lots of people think. Now, the problem with that kind of thinking is sex is the number one searched for word on the internet every single day. In fact, not only is it the number one searched for word on the internet every single day, but it and the pornography associated with it and the soft pornography that people would call modeling in a lot of ways is used to sell just about every single item that there is. I don't know if you have been on something like Yahoo, and if you're scrolling down and there are little pictures that tell you what's going on, this person just won a gold medal, you scroll past a picture that it looks like it's a pornographic picture almost. It's a girl in a very scantily clad bikini, and she's selling toothpaste. Now, what in the world does a girl in a bikini have to do with toothpaste? Nothing. Not one thing, but the people who are selling toothpaste know that when you're flipping through there, if they put up a picture of toothpaste, you're not going to look. But if they put up a picture of a girl wearing a little bitty bikini holding a thing of toothpaste, that's going to get your attention. Pornography. I'm thinking of a man right now that grew up in a very, very conservative homeschool family that was extremely evangelistic, that all of his life he plans to be a preacher, and as he grew into a Christian man, pursued his dream to preach. In fact, he married a sweet girl from the homeschooling community, and it looked like they were going to have a very, very bright future. They don't have a very bright future because in the course of his activities, he started looking at pornography. Started off just like so many pornographic addictions do. Picture would pop up. He'd be in a place where he didn't think anybody would be around for a while. He went down that road, clicked that picture on his computer, and just kept going for years. But soon, because of the nature of pornography, the pictures weren't enough, and so soon he started finding prostitutes that would act out the things that he had been looking at on that computer for years. And eventually, not only was he finding prostitutes, but eventually one of the people he solicited was an undercover policeman, policewoman. He was tried, found guilty. His wife divorced him. He now is in a place where he cannot ever marry again, and he has virtually lost his family because he wanted to look at pictures of girls with no clothes on the internet. Now, it seems kind of absurd, doesn't it? Well, you're willing to lose everything to look at some pictures on a computer screen. In fact, for you girls, that for most all women, because you are not visually wired the way guys are, that just seems like the most ridiculous idea that there is. I was looking at some quotes from Every Man's Battle, the book, and one of the wives of the authors of Every Man's Battle, it's talking about sexual temptation in that book. One of the wives basically just said, I have never understood why and how my husband thinks this way. I know that it's the case because of how many people I've talked to, but it to this day doesn't make any sense to me at all. And because it is so visual and guys are wired that way, it's true that many girls don't even understand the temptation. In fact, in this particular lesson I was looking at, the person went on to say, and because they don't understand it, many times they are ruthless in their temptation because of what they wear, refusing to admit that guys look at girls differently. Now, as you're looking at this idea of pornography, there's a reason that you invited me to come and speak on it. You could have probably gotten people that have done a whole lot better job. I don't speak on this topic very much at all. In fact, this is the first time ever I've given a whole lesson to this particular topic. But there's a reason that you got somebody to come here and speak on this topic. Here's the reason. Pornography is one of the most prevalent and destructive sins in the Lord's church today. Hands down, without question, that is a fact. Now, I was doing the stats for an audience this big. If we've got about 125 people in this audience tonight, and 75 of them are men between the age of, we'll just say 13 and up, then that means about 30 people in this audience tonight are looking actively at pornography or have in the last week. Now you say, well, hold on, Kyle, those are stats for people in the world. I mean, we're not talking about Christians. Those are people who wouldn't describe themselves as Christians. No. No, the people who don't describe themselves as Christians, 34% of them don't think that anything is wrong with looking at pornography. They don't even think it's a sin. And about 70% of them, if I understand it correctly, are looking at porn. That's 70% of the people who don't call themselves Christians. You tracking? And so that's 48% of all men or males on Christian college campuses say that I am actively looking at pornography. 48% of males on Christian college campuses. The promise keepers, the men in the denominational world who are trying to be the kind of fathers that they're supposed to be, when at a promise keeper rally, they were asked, have you looked at pornography in the last week? 50% of them said, yes, I have. So let's recognize that in this auditorium tonight, there are probably at least 20 people actively looking at pornography. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if that were the case with any other sin, we'd be preaching on it and talking about it all the time. If we knew that there were 20 people in our auditorium that were stealing stuff, what do you think we'd be doing? If we knew there were 20 people in our auditorium on any given Sunday, you put 300 people in here, you're looking at 40 or 50. Now, we would be, if we knew there were 50 people worshiping idols on a Sunday morning in our assemblies, you think we'd be devoting some time to that? Absolutely positive. 50 people that, just name any other sin. So we've got maybe 20 people in here tonight who are probably actively looking at pornography. Now, of course, the first question would be, is that you? Now, generally speaking, if I understand it right, guys have a 571% higher chance of looking at pornography than girls do. This is just not an issue, generally speaking, for females. Although females do occasionally, very rarely, look at pornography, most of the time, no, this is a guy problem. Now, what's wrong with pornography? You know, it's a real good question. If you were to ask, what, 100 people who aren't Christians, is there anything wrong with pornography? They would say, no, absolutely not. Not a thing wrong with it. I think it's fine. The atheistic material I read all the time, they defend pornography and say there's not a thing wrong with it. There's never been a study that shows it's destructive to anybody. They're lying. They're full of garbage. But they'll say that with a straight face and expect you to believe them. What is wrong with it? Well, number one, if you were just to look at the Bible and ask the simple question, where does this fall in the biblical description of activities? Your main verse and idea that relates to this is Matthew chapter 5. You look in verses 27, 28, and 29. Real simple. You've heard that it was said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. Okay, easy to understand. Hey, people in the past said, you shall not commit adultery. But many of the Jews were thinking, all right, guess what? I don't commit adultery. But when this particular girl walks by, I sexually fantasize about her, but I haven't touched her, and so I haven't done anything wrong. But Jesus takes it a step further. He says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay, so what's wrong with pornography? It's a lustful thought that causes a person to commit a sin in their mind. That's what pornography is. So if we were just to say, hey, what is pornography? Why is it wrong? Why, Kyle, are you preaching about it on a Wednesday night? Because it's a violation of Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, 28, and 29. Straight up. Now, we're not going to stop there. If we were just to say it's a violation of God's will, that should be enough for us to say, well, I don't want anything to get in between my relationship with God, and so I'm going to stop it. But that's not all there is to it. You know, when you start looking at the stats for pornography, I was last year at a Golden State Warriors game. I got kind of the cheaper tickets, and they were about, I think, $85 a piece. I had to have the Hubble telescope to see Steph Curry down there and make out his number 30 because I was so high up. I had to have a blood transfusion afterward because my nose had bled from being at such a high altitude for so long. And that was an $85 ticket. And I went with one of my buddies and took one of my sons and his son. And so, I mean, we probably spent $200 on, you know, tickets to go to a Golden State Warriors game. And that wasn't even one of the more expensive ones. It wasn't even a playoff game. Do you know that if you were to take all of the money that all basketball teams make every year, and all Major League Baseball teams make every year, and all Major League Hockey teams make every year, and all Major League Football teams make every year, and combine them total, you would not have as much revenue as the pornographic industry has every year. They bring in $56 billion a year worldwide and $12 billion a year in the United States of America. Now, to put it in a little more perspective for you, every single second, 28,000 people view something related to pornography every single second. A little bit more perspective, if you were to take Microsoft, Google, gather tech companies, and combine everything that they make a year, you would not reach the combined revenue of pornography. Understand what I'm trying to say? It is the largest business in our nation. Now, what are the results of pornography? What happens when a person actively pursues pornography? Let's see how it plays out. Several years ago, I was writing a chapter for a book, Men in the Making. It was for teenage boys, and I had been assigned the topic of sexual purity, and pornography was going to be one of the issues. I was sitting, I remember, on my bed in Montgomery, and I was about to start typing my chapter, and my wife was in another room. She was watching a movie, so she was going to be there for probably hour and a half watching the movie. She thought I was in my bedroom typing a chapter, so probably wasn't going to see anybody for about an hour and a half or so. For the first time, this is, you know, what chat app it was. So I don't even know what it was. But it was some girl with hardly any clothes on at all named Marion who sent me a message that if I wanted to see more of her or have a good time and find people who are willing to do all kinds of stuff in Montgomery, just click here. Now, I thought it was ironic that that was the first time that had ever happened on that computer, and here was the rub of it. I knew nobody was going to be in my room for another hour and a half. Now, let's stop right there and ask yourself, if you've got a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy who that picture pops up, what do they want to do? Oh, let's change it. If you've got a 45, 46, 47-year-old man, or 55, or 56, or 57-year-old man, what do they want to do? There's something inside of you that is tempted to click that picture. So let's get straight here. Are you going to be tempted to look at a girl with no clothes on? Yeah. Most every single man, young man that I know has something in them that says, I want to see more of that. Now, God has designed men with a sexual desire that is turned on visually. Now, the outlet for that, and the only outlet for that, is marriage. And it's an exciting outlet. It's a great outlet. You know what I get so aggravated about is how people talk about Christians like they are prudes, like they don't understand sex at all, like they think sex is dirty, and like they think sex is bad. And when we talk about pornography and this destructive nature of it, they twist it into saying that what we're really saying is that sex isn't any good and that we're just trying to keep people from having fun, etc. You know, Christianity is the only place that you can go to find out exactly how sex ought to be used to make you happy. The rest of the stuff that Satan's trying to tell you about sex is a perversion of a God-given gift that is a wonderful thing for humanity. Now, are you tempted to look at that picture? Yes, and here's what I want everybody to understand. The temptation to look is not a sin. There is nothing wrong or bad about you when you think, I want to look at that. Now, where does the sin come in? When you decide you're going to go further. Now, you've seen this play out in the Bible. Although when we're talking about this subject, sometimes our mind doesn't go exactly to this story. It's a really good place to go to see how this plays out. You go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and the Bible says right there in 2 Samuel chapter 11, now it was the springtime when kings normally go out to war. And David was on top of his roof walking around, and he looks down and he sees Bathsheba bathing. Now, if you were to ask a real simple question, did David go out to his roof to find somebody with no clothes on that he could stare at? Well, no, the answer to that is probably absolutely not. He was up on his roof. He was walking around probably like he did many times. There's a good reason for him to be on the roof. It's the spring of the year. The air is circulating up top. He has a view of his whole kingdom. Perfectly natural for him to walk out and to look around his kingdom. And then he sees a girl taking a bath, probably with no clothes on at all. Now, could he have helped that? You know, sometimes people analyze this and say, well, if he was out to war like he should have been, then he wouldn't have been up on the roof, whatever. But, you know, I know a lot of people, they'll be on the internet and they'll be doing their regular job, and it won't be from their active pursuance of anything bad. I mean, they'll get an email that says, hey, your bill is ready, and they'll click your bill is ready, and bam. Now, it's at that point that David should have said, I saw that. There's something about me that makes me want to look at that. But you know what? The only thing that can do is lead to harm. I've got a wife. I have a healthy, wholesome sexual outlet. I don't need to pursue that because that will get me into trouble. As much as there's a part of me that wants to look at, there's another part of me that says, I will not. Now, David chose wrong. And so do so many young men and older men in our world today, and in our church. So, what can we do about it? How can we fix it? How can we, understanding its destructive nature, change the situation? Well, here's what I want you to understand about pornography. Pornography is destructive to every person involved. There's not one person in the process of pornography that is not harmed by the system. Now, I took that statement from a lady by the name of Shelby Lubin. Shelby Lubin, when she was growing up, had a mother who she said was very, very strict religiously. And when I mean strict religiously, I don't mean somebody who is instructive so much as the way she presents her was somebody who just said, you're going to hell. I can't believe that a person would do that. They are going to hell. If you don't do exactly right, you're going to hell. And was just a very you're going to hell type mom. And said her dad was a person that just didn't really show her any type of affection, didn't tell her that he loved her, didn't tell her that she was special, that mostly only talked to her when she was acting out, when she was doing bad. So when she was 9 years old, she went over to somebody's house who had an older, I think it was an 11-year-old girl, friend of hers, who had an older teenage brother, and she was sexually abused by both of them. She said when she came back to her house, she didn't feel like she could tell her mom and dad, and nobody really even asked. And her behavior started to change, and nobody sat her down and said, Shelly, what's wrong? And so she really started acting out in high school, and she started basically sleeping with anybody that she wanted. She started doing all kinds of drugs. At 18, her dad basically came to her and said, get out of my house. Just leave. So she doesn't know where to go. She's on the street. So she starts a life of prostitution. $35 would get you to sleep with her. She said she felt terrible about herself. She said she felt terrible about the people who were paying her to have sex with them. Just felt hatred toward the world. Well, then she's in a strip club. And somebody comes in and says, hey, do you want to be a professional? Let me tell you, I think I can get you into the porn industry. And so she said that she was in it for the money. So she starts working in the porn industry. And her first question was, hey, is this safe? And the person says, oh, yeah, it's totally safe. Said, we make sure that STDs aren't passed. And this is absolutely safe. 2 years in the porn industry, she caught two sexually transmitted diseases, one that she will live with for the rest of her life. She said she tried to commit suicide so many times she quit counting. She got out of it eventually and started an organization called the Pink Cross and trying to tell everybody about the destructive nature of pornography. And she asked a simple question, who benefits from it? She said, you know, if you thought 1 second about the girl in the picture, you would start looking at things differently. She said, let me tell you about the girl in the picture. That girl, she might say she loves her profession. She might say that this gives her meaning in her life. She is lying to you. Said, anytime that a porn star does porn, they get as high as they possibly can because you can't do porn sober. They would drink whatever they could, smoke any kind of meth or any kind of drug they had, because they hated themselves so badly when they were in the process of porn that the less they thought about who they were, the better. Oh, and by the way, do you know the average age that a person involved in porn when they die? You know, the average age for a woman in the United States to live is about 81.6 years. Do you know the average age of a porn star's life? Between 37 and 43 years. Do you know why porn stars live between 37 and 43 years and not 82 or 60 or 50? or 45 because they have taken so many drugs and they hate themselves so much that they try to kill themselves or overdose to get it over with. I want you to think about this. If you were approaching life with the mind of Christ, putting someone else's needs above your own, thinking about another person, when you went to a site and there was a girl there with no clothes on, you ever stop to think, whose daughter is that? Whose mom is that? She was doing porn when she had a 2, 3, 4-year-old daughter because she was one of the few that decided not to have an abortion. She said in a porn star's lifetime of 2 years in the business because you get replaced by the younger ones that don't know how horrible it is. In 2 years in the business, a person involved in this will have had 3 to 5 abortions. Can you imagine trying to think about the person you're looking at as a person? That would change things, wouldn't it? She said when she was trying to get out of the porn industry, there was a guy who started talking to her. She said, you don't know what I've done in the past, do you? He said, yeah, I know exactly who you are. I know what you've done. She said, for the first time in years and years and years, somebody actually looked her in the eye. You ever thought about that? That what if you were just viewed as a body, not as a person, as a thing, as an object? Nobody even caring enough to look you in the eye. Because they don't think you're enough of a person to get that kind of respect. Do you think things would change if when that picture popped up on your computer, you thought, I wonder what that girl's going through? I wonder if anybody can actually help her out of what she's into. She said she hated people who looked at porn because they were contributing to the misery of what she was going through every day. Makes sense, doesn't it? You know, the thing about pornography is it doesn't benefit anybody. It's not good for anything. You know what it does to a person that looks at pornography? Number one, when you are looking at pornography, your brain releases 3 different chemical drugs. Those chemical drugs are triggered by the excitement and the adrenaline of the sexual idea that you're seeing on the computer, on the television, on the movie. And here's what happens with those 3 drugs. One of them is dopamine. Dopamine is a drug that causes you to get attached to an activity. Now, when you think about this, it causes some sort of, in a small way, but then if you abuse it in a much more bigger way, it causes an attachment that can lead to addiction. Now, there's another drug that's released that is released when a person is viewing something sexual and it sears in the person's mind every detail of what they are seeing. And finally, there's a drug called oxytocin. That is the same drug that's released when a mother is nursing a child, and it's a drug that's designed for you to feel affection towards something. Dopamine also causes you not to think about the negative effects of something and to overlook any negatives. So here's what happens. You've got a cocktail of drugs that are designed to make you remember everything that you're seeing, to get attached to that in an emotional way, and to want to be a part of that more and more. Now, that's real exciting if you're using sex the right way. It's real exciting if you're using it the way that God has designed it to be used, because that dopamine helps you overlook negatives in your spouse. It helps you be more attached to them. It helps you remember that experience so that you bring it up in your mind and think how grateful you are for this outlet. It helps you have affection toward the one that you are participating with this in. The drugs are designed perfect when you're using it right. But when you're not, it causes you to overlook what's really going on in that picture. It causes you to become addicted to what's going on in that picture. It causes you to, instead of being attached to a person, you are becoming emotionally attached to a picture. In my research, I heard about a guy who had gone so far into the pornographic addiction that in 1 year he had logged 1,000 hours of porn in a year. That's 25 weeks at 40 hours a week. And the guy who was talking to him said, "You logged 1,000 hours addicted to porn?" He said, "What'd that cost you?" I said, "It cost me my family. It cost me my wife and my kids. It cost me my job. And all I had left was porn." What good does it do for anyone? You know what else happens? When you start looking at porn, lots of times the pictures are, oh, they're airbrushed, or the stars are people that have been plastic surgery enhanced. It's not an accurate view of reality. And so you get on there and you're looking at something and you get addicted to this particular body style. You get addicted to this particular type of sex. And then if you're married, you go back and you start looking at your wife and she doesn't look like those pictures, because those pictures aren't reality. And you start thinking, well, why do I have this when I could have this? And you start getting completely dissatisfied with what God intended for you to be satisfied with. Nothing measures up. Nothing's good enough. Nothing looks like it does in the pictures. Things don't go sexually like they should in the pictures. And you are dissatisfied with what's going on, and you're no longer happy with your wife, and so you start trying to find a place where you will be happy. Now let me ask you a question. Where is that? Is it a prostitute? Oh no, what you find out when you go down that road from the research that I've done is you go further and further into that addiction just as well. And there's no place along the line that you say, I'm satisfied, because it can't satisfy you. It's nothing but a mental cancer and an emotional growth that never finds a satisfaction. It's destructive to everybody involved. So what's the solution? How can we fight it? You know, I feel so very sorry for teens and people growing up in this age. Because when I was growing up, if you were trying to find a picture of a naked person, you had to go into an adult theater or a place that sold adult DVDs and magazines. And if you weren't old enough, they wouldn't let you in. And then if it was at the gas station, you had to be 18 to buy the magazine. And it was harder to get the stuff. You think it's hard now to find a picture of a girl with no clothes on? You think that's difficult? You think, 90% of everybody in our culture has a phone that they won't even be looking for it, and it'll pop up on that phone? I mean, they'll be searching, cookie sheets, and something will pop up on there that takes them if they click it to a place they never, ever would have seen 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I remember the first time I ever saw an iPhone. First time ever. I was sitting outside of the rotunda at Faulkner University, and a kid's grandmother had won one off of a radio giveaway. I picked it up and thought, man, this thing is awesome. Started flipping through it. I'm sure he didn't know how to hide these, but happened to click one little whatever it was at the time, and pictures of topless girls just popped right up. I was so taken aback that I dropped his brand new iPhone on the concrete. It's shattered into several little pieces. I couldn't believe that that was the stuff that was coming through this. And from that point, I realized this is what we're fighting. Now, for solution. Number one, if you are looking at pornography, you have to confess that to somebody immediately. You will not be able to make any progress if you do not admit what you're doing and tell somebody about it immediately. James chapter 5, you look at verse 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're looking at pornography, you go home. If you're married and you say, I've been looking at this, I want your help to stop. If you are not married, you tell your best friend. You tell your mom. You tell your dad. Whoever it is that you trust the most, you find somebody and tell them you are looking at pornography. It's the first step. Admit you're doing it. Recognize it's destructive and tell somebody you are doing it. Step number two. You start an accountability partnership with somebody so that they know where and when you were accessing it and they can check on you. If you have to, preacher Brad Adcock, a couple guys came to him and they said, hey, we're having a problem with pornography. College guys have terrible problems with this. I was talking to Lonnie Jones and he was talking about several people at Christian colleges coming to him and saying, I can't date normally because I've been looking at porn since I was 13 years old. Can you help me? A couple guys went to Brad and said, hey, we want to send you every website that we go to every week just so we'll know there's somebody watching us. Find the accountability partner. You know, the best one, the best accountability partner that you've got is the Lord. He sees everything. He's always there. You know, lots of times people access porn when they think they're by themselves. You ever by yourself? You ever somewhere where God is not? Well, but if you haven't successfully been getting away from it because of the Lord's presence, then find you a person that can help you out with it. Number three, do this. Now, this is where it gets radical. Eliminate the source of pornography in your life. I don't know if you saw the movie Fireproof. In the movie Fireproof, there was a guy who was addicted to porn. He and his wife were about to get a divorce because every night for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, he would leave her alone and he would go on his computer and he would look at porn. He decided, after confessing his sin to a person, now I don't recommend all of the things in that movie. There are several denominational ideas about salvation that I would completely disagree with, but I thought this point was outstanding. He came to the conclusion that what he was doing was destroying his marriage, and so in one kind of funny scene, you see him with a baseball bat and his computer out in the yard, and he's beating it to a pulp. His neighbors are watching him like, what in the world are you doing beating up your computer? His wife comes home. He's taken that computer that's been beaten to a pulp, and he put a note on it, and the note said, I love you more. Do you remember what Jesus said after he said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after has already committed adultery with her in his heart? Then he says, if your right eye causes you to offend, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it'd be better for you to enter into life with one eye than to enter into destruction with both of them. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Did he mean cut your hand off? No. Did he mean pluck your eye out? No. If you have been looking at pornography and you pluck both of your eyes out, because of one of those chemical drugs that's in your brain, those images are seared in your brain for the rest of your life. You'll fight them forever. Plucking your eyes out won't fix it. What did he mean when he said, if your right hand causes it? Here's what he meant. If you've got an iPhone that you can't trust yourself with it, you take it back to your parents and say, I can't handle this. Or you give it to your wife and say, give me a flip phone. Or you send it back to the place and you say, give me one of those old candy bar phones where I can call you but I can't download a picture on it. You get rid of the source in your life. Well, I've got some more stuff. That's my bill. That's all we're going to be able to go over tonight. Now, I just want to encourage you. This is not a judgment. It's not a, hey, you are a horrible person if you do it. But it is a, pornography is destroying you if you're involved. And God doesn't want you to be destroyed. So do whatever it takes tonight to get rid of that behavior. You guys have listened so well, I appreciate it. I was probably about 6, and my brothers and I were talking to my grandmother about bald eagles, and we were explaining to her that bald eagles were not really bald, that they actually had white feathers on their head, but they were called bald eagles because far off it kind of looked like they didn't have feathers on their heads. My granny said, that's crazy. She said, why in the world would anybody name an eagle bald eagle if it actually had feathers on its head? She said, no, bald eagles are bald. We said, granny, bald eagles are not bald. They actually have feathers on their head. They're just called that because they look bald. She said, no, nobody would do that. A bald eagle is bald. We said, granny, they're not bald. She said, yes, they are. Well, this was back in the days of encyclopedias. And so we went to the shelf. She had a set of encyclopedias there. We pulled down the B, and you would have thought that this was written by one of us for this particular discussion. Because it said, like the first paragraph, bald eagles aren't really bald. They have feathers, and they aren't bald. We said, there you go, Granny. They're not bald. She said, I don't care what that book says. I still think they're bald. You know, I am convinced that you could have pulled a bald eagle into that room and put it in front of her face and said, this is a bald eagle. And she said, no, it's not. It's got feathers on its head. A bald eagle. You know, some people just have ideas that they want to hold on to. We've been talking about pornography tonight, a destructive mental pattern that some people refuse to give up for their God. Are there other destructive mental patterns that people refuse to give up for their God? I want to read to you a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What are we trying to do? Bring our thoughts in line with Jesus's. I'll ask you a real simple question. It's got a real simple answer. Can you imagine Jesus Christ looking at pornography? Can you even fathom that? It's so non-Christian. It's so anti-Christ, so against everything Jesus stands for. He wants us to bring our mind in line with his thinking process. Not because he wants to have control over our mind, because he wants us to know the truth, and the truth is going to set us free. It's not going to addict us to something destructive. It's not going to cause us to go down wrong paths. Now, we've been talking about pornography tonight, but are there paths of the mind that people refuse to let go and turn their thoughts to obedience to Christ? You ever seen somebody do that? You ever seen a person who grew up in a religion that wasn't Christianity, and you show them where the Bible said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and they looked right at that verse. And in essence, they said, I don't care what that verse says. I don't care what that book says. I'm going to say, and just fill in the blank, I'm going to say you can just take Jesus in your heart. I'm going to say that I can be saved and stay a Muslim. I'm going to say that whatever it is. Is there a thought pattern in your mind that you have selfishly hung on to and not given it to Christ? Not allowed the truth of Jesus' thinking to pull you in line to the truth? You're holding on to something mentally that you need to let go. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's a religious belief you've had since you were a kid that's not biblical. Maybe it's a thought process that you've held on to because you felt like it made you appear intelligent. I don't know. Is there something you need to give up mentally tonight to become a New Testament Christian? Have you been a New Testament Christian, but you've wandered from the truth? You've let apathy seep into your life. You no longer look at people as souls. You don't have an outlook for eternity anymore. Do you need to get something right? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, in any way, I hope you will, as we stand and as we sing.